Welcome to our fifth sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Am. Today's sermon title, The Good Shepherd. Open your Bible to John 10, verses 7 through 18, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the Good Shepherd. You give us life by laying down your life. You guide us to green pastures. You instruct us to lie down beside still waters. You restore our souls. Please help us to see Christ clearly and follow him diligently. Amen. Araminta Ross, her family called her Minty, was born in 1820. Or maybe 1822, or maybe 1825. See, we really don't know. She was a slave. And the record of her birth is non-existent. She just shows up on a slave owner's register. Her owner rented her to another slave owner whose wife had a baby, and every time the baby cried at night, they beat her. If you've had babies, they cry at night. It's miserable enough with them crying without you getting a beating. Amen? She got sick, and the people who rented her said she wasn't worth what they were paying and sent her back to her owner. Her owner took her and a couple of other slaves to town to buy some supplies. One of the slaves tried to escape. It made the owner mad. He picked up an iron weight to throw at the escaping slave, but hit Minty and gave her brain trauma that resulted in her having convulsions the rest of her life. Her boss decided that he was going to sell her because she really wasn't worth much to him. But Minty decided she wasn't going to be sold. She said years later that she decided she was going to gain her freedom or die trying. And so before she could be sold, Minty snuck out and through the swamps of southern Maryland, she made her way north. Made it to a city in Pennsylvania and started a new life for herself. But she had a problem. Her family was still in slavery, and she couldn't live with it. And so Minty, over the next 11 years, made 13 trips out of Pennsylvania and back into slave states, where she led 70 slaves to freedom. During the Civil War, she led a group of slave freers, along with some Union troops, and freed another 700 slaves. You don't know her as Araminta Ross. You know her as Harriet Tubman. There she is. 770 people found freedom because she guided them along the Underground Railroad. They would never have been free if Harriet Tubman hadn't done what she did. She's an American hero. She is a model of someone who had three strikes against her, but still found a way to live a profound life. Can you hear me? I know some of you have it tough, but you weren't born a slave. I'm not really sure we know what tough means. Church? You weren't beaten repeatedly. You weren't defrauded of the privilege of learning how to read simply because of your skin color. She was a remarkable woman, and because of her courage in guiding others, they had a chance at a real life. They couldn't make it on their own, but with her help, they could. In some ways, Harriet Tubman is like Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Harriet had to give up something, risk her own freedom, to free others. Christ gave up an incredible amount to come to earth to guide us to God. Do you get that? I don't know that we'll ever comprehend what it cost Christ to come here and hang around with the likes of us so he could guide us back to God. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go out and come in and find pasture." I don't know anything about shepherding and sheep. Everything I know, I've read in books. I have seen them, and they don't look like they look in their pictures, as I have told you before. They look nasty, and they smell terrible. But I understand from reading in books that shepherds at the time of Christ would build pens. And they would take field stone, they would take tree branches, they would take briars, they would collect anything they could collect and build these walls. And they would put the sheep in the pen at night, and then the shepherd could lay down in the door of the pen and sleep. If they didn't have a pen, the shepherd could not sleep all night long. He had to be vigilant all night long, watching that somebody didn't come and steal a couple of his sheep or a predatory animal didn't. But with a pen, the shepherd could lie down in the doorway and sleep. And so this is the image that was common to see as you walked around the world that Jesus lived in. These thrown together sheep pens that shepherds had so their sheep could be safe at night. And people saw them in the countryside everywhere. And so Jesus picks up on this image and he says, "I am a good shepherd. I want to help you build proper fences in your life that keep you safe." Have you ever thought about letting Christ help you build some fences that would make your life better? You say, "Well, I'm not really sure what you mean." We all need fences in our lives. Church, we need fences. We need to create boundaries that we don't go over for any reason. Right? Haven't we learned that from all the people who have misbehaved themselves and are getting fired? They didn't have any fences in their lives, and they permitted themselves to do things that were really detrimental to others and themselves. We have to have fences in our lives. And Christ said, I want to help you build some fences in your life. See, because when you have these fences in your life, you get to choose who you listen to. You get to choose whether you're going to listen to the voice of the shepherd or whether you're going to listen to the voice of the thieves. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Who are these thieves and robbers that Christ is talking about? He's talking about people that you know who have a tendency to draw you away from Christ. In every one of our lives, there are people that if we let them, they'll draw us away from Christ. Do you know what I mean? They always want you to do something that takes you away from Christ. They always have a reason why it's not necessary to have quiet time in your life. They're the ones who say to you, do you really have to go to church every week? No one goes to church every week. What's wrong with you? Right? In all of our lives, there are people who will draw us away from Christ. They're the thieves. They're the robbers. Every one of us know that there are ideas that will draw us away from Christ. I have to listen to them all the time. They're generally ideas that someone came up with that are insulting to Christ. You often see them on the History Channel. Professor Pagan pawning himself off as a theologian, and he can't say enough negative things about Christ. You know the type. There are ideas that will draw us away from Christ, and they are the thieves and the robbers. But the worst thief and the robber is not people and ideas, it's our own behaviors. Do you get that? We draw ourselves away from Christ more than people and ideas ever do. Because you see, I choose behaviors that draw me near to Christ, or I choose behaviors that put more and more distance between Christ and I. Church, don't pray for a couple of days and see how much you don't want to pray. You know it's true, don't you? Just give up praying for a couple of days, and before you know it, it'll be a month. And you haven't talked personally to Christ in an intimate way at all. Your behavior was a thief, and it robbed you of the joy, the wonder, and the delight of fellowship with Christ. Church, don't read your Bible. Just make it not necessary. And see how quickly the ideas that are compelling in the Bible that make you a better person fade from your life. I don't read the Bible for any other reason than I need it. The ideas in this book, I need. They make me feel closer to Christ. They make me a better man. They make me want to do better things. And when I abandon this holy book and I find it easy to fill my mind with all kinds of thoughts other than the ideas of Jesus Christ, my soul drifts and I can't hear the shepherd's voice. And I find myself in an ugly and a lonely wilderness of the soul. Church, can you hear me? See, there are thieves and robbers. And Christ said, we have to decide who we're listening to. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the things that draw you away and leave you feeling abandoned and lonely in the wilderness? Or are you going to say to the gatekeeper, are you going to say to the good shepherd, I find I need you every day. I find my life is better when I have a sense of you in my life. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it increasingly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. You see, the people who draw me away from Christ, they steal and kill and destroy something very valuable in my life. You get that? It's not just incidental when you drift from Christ. When you drift from Christ, something that you desperately value is stolen. Some life that you can't live apart from Christ is killed. And some value that is innate to the human soul is destroyed. When ideas draw me away from Christ, they steal and kill and destroy something in my life. When behaviors draw me away from Christ, they steal and kill and destroy something in my life. Do you get that? Life away from Christ is not healthy. You lose value. You lose purpose. Christ the Good Shepherd gives us life. He calls it eternal life. I want to remind you, eternal life is not about duration, it's about quality. When you read eternal life in the Bible, I want you to read a quality of life that has eternal value. Eternity means no time at all. Do you get that? So when you start thinking about eternal life as life that's a long time, you miss the point. The point is not how long it is, because a crappy life that lasts forever, I don't need. I'm out. Forever ugly is not appealing to me. But when Christ talks about eternal life, he's talking about a quality of life that has eternal value, and you look forward to every day of it. Church, we have a budget process in our church, and the staff writes budgets and everything. I do not look forward to the budget process in our church. Every day is unpleasant in the budget process. but we manage your money like the biggest skinflint who ever lived. We pinch every penny. Church, there are other things in this church that if every day could be like that, I would be the most delighted person in the world. You know what? I came in here this morning. This building was full of women. They were all gorgeous and they were happy and they had some kind of woman's extravaganza going on. I'm sorry? Gift exchange, yes. I helped Sharon make 5 things yesterday. I actually ate the stuff Sharon was putting in 5 things yesterday. There are some things that we wish could last forever, right? That is what Christ is talking about in eternal life. It is a quality of life that is so rich and so good, you say, I'm glad this lasts forever. I want this to last forever. Like the best day of your vacation, you say, if only this could last forever. When I drift from the Good Shepherd, I lose my sense of eternal life. And Christianity stops being something that I wish could last and last in my life, and it becomes another hassle. Oh, brother, I better drag myself up to church, or God will send me to hell, and I don't want that. That's not life in Christ, church. That's life under the tyranny, and that's the slavery of religion. Life in Christ is a quality of life that we say, I wish this could last forever. Christ said, I didn't come to make your life difficult. I'm not that kind of shepherd. I didn't come to give you duties and obligations. I didn't come to make you miserable. You're doing that to yourself. Stop it. He said, I came to be a shepherd that gives you life, and life with an ever-increasing quality about it. Life in Christ is a little better every day. Life without Christ is a little worse every day. And if you don't say amen to that, I'm telling God on you. Thank you. Dear God, they're good people. Bless them, I pray. What is increasing life? Let's just touch on it. Healthier thoughts. You know what? I don't care what kind of life you have. If you're living with an unhealthy mind, your life stinks. Church, Christ said, I came to give you a better quality of life. If you'll follow me, you'll have healthier thoughts. Christ said, I came to give you a better life. If you follow me, you'll be a more gracious person. The world will get better around you. If you follow me, you'll love in a more unselfish way. If you follow me, you'll find deeper meaning in life. Do you see what he's saying? I came to give you a better quality of life. And if we follow Christ the way sheep follow the shepherd, we have healthier thoughts. We become more gracious. We love in a more unselfish way. And life has a deeper and deeper meaning. Some of you don't know Christ this way because you grew up under the ministry of a hireling. And they didn't tell you the wonder, the majesty, and the beauty of Christ. They talked to you about a Christ who was very unpleasant and dangerous, a Christ that you wanted to keep a safe distance from. They were hirelings. They were religious leaders, but they didn't care enough about your soul to help you make a healthy connection to Christ. They were religious leaders, but they abandoned you when the troubles of life battered your soul, and they had no answer because they didn't know the majesty of Christ himself. Christ called them hirelings, church. I'm telling you, the day that I stop talking to you about the wonder and the majesty of Jesus Christ is the day that you should be very suspicious of me. Can you hear this? Do you want to know how to judge the quality of a ministry? What does that ministry do in pointing people to the head of all of this, Jesus Christ? We're not just a social service organization. We're not a club of good people. We're not a group of people who gather together to pat each other on the back and say, I thank God I'm not like those people. We are followers of Christ. There's something about Christ that captures the attention of our soul. We become fascinated with him. There's something about who he is that draws us. We find that as we move through life, we have a greater and greater longing to escape the nonsense of a broken world and live in a world where Christ in all his majesty, goodness, grace, and love reigns. He is the good shepherd. That means he wants you to call on him when trouble comes. When the trouble is the worst in your life, your shepherd will be the closest to you. Church, he never runs from a problem. He never has, he never will. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I will bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Would you listen to what Jesus said? I have other sheep. You may have lost your sense that you belong to Christ, but he has not lost his sense of ownership for you. He knows you. Church, some of you don't know Christ. You don't know him as your shepherd. But guess what? If you're elect, he knows you. He knows you. When Christ said, I have other sheep, he wasn't talking to the Jewish people about other Jewish people. He was talking to them about us. He said, there's other people out there that over the generations are going to come to me, and I already know them. Where you sit tonight in your seat, whether you sense it or not, Christ senses his ownership of your soul. He knows you. You're one of his. And listen what Christ says. I must bring them. Verse 16. There is a must in Christ's life, and you are it. He knows you. And whether you know him as the shepherd or not, he knows you. And he says, I must reach your life. I must reach your heart. I must reach your soul. I can't stand it not doing it. Where you sit tonight, there is a good shepherd who has this intense commitment to find you and bring you into his flock, church. Some of the people that you think are beyond hope, Christ knows them as his sheep, and he feels the same must for them. There are people in this church that other people told me they would never go to church. And now they rarely miss. You know why? They were Christ's sheep, and he must bring them into the fold. Some of us have family members that make us weep and pray. We just weep and pray. We've said everything we know to say. We don't know what else to say. So we talk to the good shepherd and we say, you left the 99 in the wilderness and you went and found the one. Your heart compelled you to do it. And we say, there is one in my life that I so desperately want you to go out into the wilderness and find and bring them back into the fold. Can you hear it, church? The one your heart aches for, the shepherd's heart aches for them even more. The one that seems to have drifted, the one that you can't speak to in a way that is compelling to them anymore. They may be beyond our reach, but they're not beyond the reach of the good shepherd. He knows them. They're his lamb. They're his sheep. And he's going to find a way. Today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, some way the good shepherd will pull them away from the thief and the robber. He'll free them from the tyranny of the thorn bush. And he'll bring them back into the fold. And our hearts and hopes rest on not our own Christianity, but on the good work of a good shepherd. Church? Are you in the flock? Do you know Christ? I don't mean do you know some stories about him. I mean in your soul, in the real you. Have you ever experienced the shepherding work of Jesus Christ? Are you one of the flock? Are you following him closely enough that he gets you into the green pastures and beside the still waters? He restores your soul, and you know that Christianity is about an increasing quality of life because you experience it in Christ. Or have you wandered away? Are you missing the green pastures and the still waters? Is your soul shriveled because somehow or another you left the path of the Good Shepherd? I want to talk to some of you tonight who think you don't need a shepherd. Shepherd. This is a modern world, Doc. I need the internet. I don't need a shepherd. I need a better investment program. I don't need a shepherd. I need affordable insurance. What is a shepherd to me? So you really think you can do this without any help? You can't see that you're enslaved. You can't see that your life is driven. You can't see that something that's not good for you makes the major decisions for you. You need a shepherd. Do you really know the way to freedom? You think you're going to really figure that out yourself? You can't be honest with yourself? You've made decisions that robbed you of your freedom. Do you really think you've figured out how to have an increasing quality of life all by yourself? And whatever convinced you that unlike the rest of humanity, you know your way through the valley of the shadow of death. I do not want to walk that valley alone, church. It is a valley I don't want to walk alone. I'm looking in that moment for the good shepherd to show up and say, I know you. We're going to walk through this valley together. I have prepared a place for you. It's not a pen that guards you from wolves and thieves. It's a mansion, and I've prepared it for you because you're one of mine. And where I am, I want you to be also. Church, that's the Christ I'm offering you tonight. That's the Christ who's whispering to your soul.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.